This week, we've been looking ahead at what to expect in 2020 when it comes to climate change. The World's environment correspondent, Carolyn Beeler, has one word: lawsuits.
In September of 2009, Typhoon Kitsana dumped a foot and a half of rain on the Philippines in just 24 hours. In the capital, Manila, muddy, sewage-filled floodwater trapped Derek Cabe's family on the roof of their home.
My family huddled together on the rooftop of our two-story house. As the floodwater swept past, they can see bodies, animals, and even a coffin. It was like a horror movie.
Cabe was trapped a few miles away with one of her sisters. She was getting text message updates from her family at home, but she couldn't get to them.
The fact that they were trapped in a life and death situation, and I have no idea how to help them, was the worst nightmare I've ever had.
When the floodwaters receded, their home and everything in it was covered in a thick layer of mud.
The home was destroyed. We have nothing. Nothing was left.
Since that day, the Philippines has been slammed by storms again and again. In 2012, Tropical Storm Washi killed about 1,300 people. In 2013, Typhoon Haiyan killed 6,000 people. These kinds of storms are expected to grow more intense as the climate warms.
What are we going to do? Are we just going to count the dead bodies? Are we just going to cry? Is that the only thing that we could do? There should be someone that should be accountable to this.
Someone held accountable. In 2015, Cabe signed onto a petition that asked the Philippines Commission on Human Rights to do just that. The commission investigated whether big oil and gas companies could be held legally responsible for harm caused by climate change. And the case is not unique. Citizens, nonprofits, and even governments around the world are increasingly turning to the courts to hold someone accountable for global warming.
Litigation in the field of climate change has grown significantly in recent years.
Alice Hill is a former judge and climate change policy expert at the Council on Foreign Relations.
And it's anticipated that it will continue to grow on a number of fronts as we experience more impacts and there's greater anxiety about the very urgent need to cut emissions.
Hill calls some of these climate change lawsuits failure to adapt cases. The plaintiffs are suing governments or businesses for not doing enough to protect people or their property from the impacts of climate change. In Texas, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers just fought and lost a case filed by homeowners claiming they didn't do enough to prevent flooding during Hurricane Harvey.
It's those types of cases that will just be replicated across the nation because the damages are happening and the courts are one of the most frequently sought after places for people to get money.
Lawsuits against oil and gas companies are also on the rise. Right now, U.S. cities and states are suing for money to protect themselves from the impacts of climate change by building seawalls, for example. So far, none of those cases have been successful.
We see in these large-scale cases the fossil fuel companies raising the issue that, look, everyone's emitting carbon, and to point your finger at the fossil fuel companies isn't really fair, and you can't trace our emissions to a particular event, which is a linkage typically required in many tort cases.
Climate change lawsuits started, where else? Here, in the litigious United States, back in the late 1990s. For years, most of these cases were in the U.S. Joanna Setzer is a climate litigation expert at the London School of Economics. She says that started to change around 2015, after a Dutch court ruled that the government had to cut emissions to protect the human rights of its citizens.
What happened was a number of other countries and litigants started seeing how litigation could be used strategically against governments and against companies. So in Belgium, in Germany, in Luxembourg, in Chile.
Setzer says the trend is likely to continue in the upcoming year, especially in developing countries.
I expect to see more cases being brought in countries where either we haven't seen any case of strategic climate litigation or where there's been one or two, so an increase there as well.
The case in the Philippines was decided last month. The human rights investigators concluded that oil and gas companies could, in fact, be held responsible. That decision won't be legally binding, but activists hope it lays the groundwork for future court cases. Still, the courts themselves might not be the best place to fight the battle against rising carbon emissions, says Dennis von Burkle.
Courts can't make climate policies. Courts aren't obviously not the best institution to deal with these issues.
Von Burkle was one of the lawyers working on that landmark case in the Dutch courts that inspired climate lawsuits around the world.
What courts can do is they can look at the facts and they can say, well, here the government really crossed the line. And what we really want is for governments not to cross that line and to start acting in the interest of the people.
Von Burkle and others hope that the threat of lawsuits will at least nudge them in that direction. For The World, I'm Carolyn Beeler.